Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at something specific. Steve Wozniak's March 2020 claim, that he might have been patient zero. We're using it as a way into, well, a bigger story. The real question is, how could someone like Wozniak, wealthy, connected, right there in Silicon Valley, find it impossible to get a simple COVID test early on? Why did the system fail him so badly?
Right. And what the sources really show is this wasn't about him personally. Not really. His struggle was almost inevitable. It was the result of this cascade of failures, systemic failures, really, regulatory, then scientific, and finally logistical. It basically created this diagnostic vacuum across the whole country.
Okay, let's unpack that. The story picks off, I think it was March 2nd, 2020. Wozniak posts online suggesting he and his wife Janet might have had it way back on January 4th after a trip to Southeast Asia.
Yeah, but medically, that whole patient zero idea fell apart pretty quickly. First off, the CDC's testing rules back then were incredibly strict. You had to have traveled to Hubei province in China, yeah. Southeast Asia, where they were. That just didn't count. So right away, he didn't meet the criteria.
Oh, okay.
Plus his wife, Janet, she was eventually diagnosed with just a regular sinus infection, nothing exotic. Mm. And Wozniak himself later walked it back, saying the patient zero comment was more kind of a joke.
But it still got traction, didn't it? People were talking about it.
Oh, absolutely. And that's interesting, too, psychologically. It speaks to what some call the narrative fallacy. People needed a simple story, a patient zero for this huge, scary, abstract thing happening. Wozniak, the tech icon, sort of fit the bill.
Okay, so medically ineligible. But that still brings us back to the main puzzle. If he was worried, even between January and March, and he has resources, why couldn't he just say, go to a top lab like Stanford's and pay them to run a test? Was that actually impossible?
It was completely impossible. And that's the absolute core of the first failure, the regulatory one. On February 4th, the FDA issued an emergency use authorization, an EUA. But here's the kicker. It was only for the CDC's test. Exclusively.
Only the CDC's test.
Exactly. It created a regulatory monopoly. It legally prohibited all those other high-complexity labs, university labs like Stanford, big commercial labs, from developing and using their own tests. Mm-hmm. These are called laboratory-developed tests, or LDTs. And they're crucial in a crisis because labs can make them quickly, tailor them, but the FDA rules shut that down completely.
Wow. So basically, if you weren't a Hubei traveler, you were just invisible to the system for almost 2 months. Didn't matter who you were or what symptoms you had.
Pretty much. You couldn't get the only authorized test.
And if the CDC test was the only game in town, what happened with that?
Well, that leads straight into the second major failure, the scientific one. The CDC shipped out their test kits right after the EUA, but they were fundamentally flawed. There was a major quality control breakdown. Molecular analysis later confirmed one of the key components, the N1 part, was contaminated with synthetic genetic material.
Contaminated? Serious?
Seriously. So the only test that was legally allowed in the entire country didn't actually work reliably. That basically cemented the diagnostic vacuum for all of February.
Okay, this is wild. So no testing possible until the FDA finally changed course, which they did on February 29th, allowing those LDTs. But Wozniak's complaint was March 2nd after that change. So the regulatory door opened, but he still couldn't get tested. Why?
Because the moment that regulatory door opened, it triggered the third failure. A massive, catastrophic logistical bottleneck. Suddenly, every lab that could develop an LDT tried to do it all at once. And the supply chain just collapsed instantly. They couldn't get the absolute basic stuff needed to run the test. We're talking RNA extraction reagents, the chemicals to pull the virus's genetic material out, and even the nasopharyngeal swabs, the long swabs for collecting samples. Huge shortages everywhere.
So Wozniak's wealth was literally useless at that point. He couldn't buy supplies that simply didn't exist on the market.
Exactly. That's the point. This wasn't about one person needing one test. It was a system-wide failure of scale. You can't just conjure up millions of test components overnight. His individual test was, frankly, the lowest possible priority when labs were fighting for scraps just to get any testing capacity online. So by the time LDTs were theoretically allowed in early March, getting the materials was logistically impossible for weeks. And by then, his specific situation wasn't even medically urgent anymore.
So wrapping this up, the system failed someone like Wozniak so bad, as he put it, because the failure wasn't local or personal. It was deep within the national strategy at a level where individual money or connections just don't matter.
Precisely. And if you zoom out, this whole case study is powerful proof, really, that a highly centralized single point of failure approach to diagnostics in a pandemic is just Well, it's incredibly dangerous. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, which leaves us with a big question for the future, doesn't it?
It does.
It seems the real bottleneck wasn't figuring out the science of the virus, not initially anyway. It was logistics. It was resilience. So how do you structure public health responses differently next time? How do you ensure those decentralized labs can act immediately and that there's a warm base, a ready supply chain for critical things like reagents before a crisis even hits? That's really something for you, the listener, to think about.